As a product owner, you want to depend on your Scrum Master to help coach the team, reinforce good habits so you can maximize the value produced by the team. You know, I saw a debate on a social site just a couple of weeks ago or last week or whatever about the Scrum Master removing impediments, and it was this huge debate. I'm just not going to get into that. I just really want to emphasize that becoming an effective partner with the Scrum Master and the team is a big part of proving our success. And I know many of you have had questions about the Scrum Master and how to help them get in a position to help you. So maybe today I can help you help them so they can help you. Whatever. Everybody wins in this. You know how it goes. Hey, welcome into Planet Product Owner. This is your host, Scott. Welcome back. And I'm glad to be here as I help you through your journey. So if you are the Scrum Master or you want to be a Scrum Master, or if you're a product owner even working closely with a Scrum Master and you're trying to get some things worked out today, I want to help you with a few things in this episode. I call it the three C's of coaching for the Scrum Master. And this is just my three C's to share with you, three of the things that I think are really important for us. So before we get into today's episode, a few housekeeping notes for you. I'm very excited to announce really soon, I'm going to be supplementing your journey with some new content types. I'm not quite ready to drop that yet, but when it does, you'll obviously be the first to know because you're really the only people that I talk with so much at a broad level here. I appreciate your support. You know that. And I know that you're going to continue to support me and Planet Product Owner for a long time because we're all on the journey and the hits keep coming. I want to be the coach for this community, but I also recognize that you guys are becoming coaches yourselves and you want to help others too. And so I'm hoping here pretty soon that we're going to put ourselves in a position to do that. And when this thing happens, it's going to be really, really big. So just hang on to that. So it's taken me a little time to put this thing together. I want to make sure that it adds value to you. I've gotten a lot of feedback from you. I think I know what you're looking for, and together we're going to build a community into a strong group of artists, I believe, who really know how to deliver value with quality, and we're going to help each other become really high-producing, effective teams. So today's topic, Scott's three C's of coaching for the Scrum Master. Sit back, buckle up. Let's get to Planet Product Owner. So I know you love story time. Quick story. Before my volleyball team's match, when we hit the floor, I remind them that usually the loudest, most obnoxious teams who talk the most are actually the better teams. It's because good teams communicate with each other. And I don't mean sending out emails and IMs and chats and things like that. I mean actually verbalize what's going on here, okay? Now, I don't know if the first strategy that I'm going to share with you, I don't know if that came from Agile coaching or volleyball. I don't know which one it came from first, but I know that I've been using it for a little while. And you can use this and reuse it, and I'm going to give it to you in a thinking pattern that suggests you could generically apply this and make it your own. Okay, and like with anything else that you hear on this podcast and anything you get back from me, take it or leave it, right? I mean, it's just a thinking pattern I want to share. I do think it's going to help you, though. I think it's going to help you promote communication and collaboration on the team. So the first of the three C's I associate with an effective Scrum Master and with the team, obviously, is collaboration. You want to coach them on collaboration. So how can you as the product owner help them with this? Well, let's talk about where you are on the journey as it relates to team collaboration. This tactic is going to help improve that. I have no doubt about that, or it should. No matter which stage you are on, right? If you're struggling with collaboration, you're either likely a new team, not very comfortable enough to even effectively speak up. And look, I got to tell you, this is normal. As you as the product owner, you should validate the team's sentiment that they're not really ready to effectively speak up. Maybe they're not comfortable doing it in the setting that they're in, particularly if you're a new team. So acknowledge it, right? And we're going to help them get over that, okay? The team may also be calculated and reserved for various reasons, and I'm not going to go into that. You probably already know, okay? And the other struggle with collaboration that I typically find is that the team is talking, but they're not really talking about the right things. And this is usually because their statements are not generally guided toward value. They're just hyper-focused on what they're doing, what's going on right now. They're really more interested in getting through the sprint or the iteration than they are really effectively talking about elaboration or risk management, or even promotion of the overall solution. So they're in their work and they're not on their work, and there's a difference, right? We've talked about that here. So here's a way, again, you know, I hope you can find this tactic helpful. And before I share the good stuff, you just got to realize and recognize first, you've got to start with a conversation with a Scrum Master about how important it is for the team to collaborate and provide the input and the feedback. The feedback loop is critical here. So if we're going to be an effective team, we got to recognize we're a team first and good teams talk. Okay. So in the past, I've told my teams and that players win and coaches lose. I've also said, you got to want it more than I do. Now, I've even heard folks say, you know, things like coach the win and counsel the loss. You know, and you typically get pretty good results with that because players respond with some of these statements. But I want to share with you the best habit, best mindset, best strategy that I've introduced to both volleyball teams and to agile teams to help spark that much needed collaboration. It's really simple. You ready? Get ready to write this down. No, and I really mean that. Tell them what you're doing, then tell them what you see happening, and then pause. So tell them what you're doing, tell them what you see happening, and pause. If you and the Scrum Master can start practicing this really simple mindset and habit, then coach the team to get into that habit, you're going to be really surprised with the results. It's the conversation starter. This covers so many areas of what we do in Agile development, and don't qualify it for them, just like I'm not qualifying it for you. Leave it as it is. What am I doing, and what do I see happening? Then pause. What I mean is to pause. What do I mean by that? Well, pause is the critical part of this in Agile team development, for sure. In any coaching session that you're doing, why do I say pause? And by the way, I physically have a sticky note. You remember I told you I got a sticky note on my desk that says 3-year-old? I've got one also that reads pause, P-A-U-S-E. So I'm intentionally reminding myself to pause. Pausing is critical because it gives the other brains and the psyches in the room the chance to process what was just said and maybe even process their response to it, right? We already know that some of the folks on the team are more calculated than others, maybe more reserved. We already know that some of them report to different managers and may be compromised in some way in their position. That's why the pause is so important. Give them time to process what was said and to process their response. Pause also helps in making sure that something that you hear a lot about, and, you know, in the old days, I probably didn't find a whole lot of value in the statement, but I do now, okay? I do, and I have for quite some time. You want to make sure you have a safe environment for them to speak in, right? And so the pause really makes that happen. That's what makes it happen, because if you're overrunning the conversation or if you're overruling what's being said or if you're interrupting, it's not safe anymore, right? So we want to make sure to make them feel safe in saying it. Now, if the silence goes on too long, okay, which happens, I know that, give a nudge. But when you give the nudge, ask the open questions. Don't ask the closed questions. For example, what do you think about that? Or what questions do you have about what was just shared? How do you feel about that? You know, and even statements like, hey, I'd be interested in what your objections or your reservations or your doubts are with that. These are all questions that anybody can ask, but the Scrum Master is the one that can probably be most helpful with that. I'll give you an example here. I'm grooming the story about the possible selections we can offer on the product page, and I see that we just may have too many options. There's the pause. It begs the question, right? Like, what options are you talking about? Okay. I am running the simulator to validate the selections, and I see an error. I'm looking at the error, and I see the exception message in the log. I am meeting with the product manager today, and I have seen a request for a new common service. See the pause, right? So I've heard Scrum Masters using the same techniques over and over and over and over and over and over and over again, and they just don't work. Like, team, the product owner can't make all these decisions, and it's really important that you speak up. Or, we can't just have one person speaking for the group, so we need everybody to talk here. Well, did you ever stop to think that maybe one team member is only speaking because of the context of the topic and nobody really has anything else to say? I mean, we didn't think about that, right? So the point is, though, is that the problem with these kinds of statements is that it almost resembles some kind of command and control aspect, right, that we see, because they're demanding, they're more demanding statements than they are, like, safe suggestions of requesting feedback, right, in the loop. And that's what we want. So keep it simple. What are you doing? What do you see happening? And then wait for it. Wait for it, right? Now, pausing, that's distinction maybe between the Agile team and sports team. Sports teams actually always verbalize throughout the game, the match, the season, and on and on, if they're effective. And we maybe don't have a continual forum like that, but I think you get the idea, right? What can we do when they're not talking, right? I mean, you've done everything you can think of, but please try this first, what we just talked about. Please try that first before you go to this more abrasive mode that I have found to work. And you guys are probably going to laugh at this, but I've done it before. It's abrasive. It's not, I mean, it is effective, okay, but it's not one that I really recommend. I recommend the previous. So here we go. So the much more abrasive strategy, if you can't get any collaboration going on, when desperate times call for desperate measures, you're going to have to fall on the sword for this one. It's a tactic that I call shoot and wait. Now, wait is still pause, okay? But the shoot part's something totally crazy. And if you do this, you're probably going to think I'm nuts for even saying it, but I'm going to say it anyway. I found it effective in some situations, okay? Make a declarative, intentional statement about the path or the problem or the way that you understand things and just be intentionally a little bit wrong about what you just said. I know, it's crazy. Shoot it out there. Just lay it down. Throw it down. Tell them you got the answer in the way you understand it and be just a little bit wrong about it. Don't let them know that you're wrong yet. Just do it intentionally and then pause. Just pretend you're the SME in another domain just for a minute and be really bold with it. The way I understand it is this. Now, somebody with an ego that's much bigger than yours is surely going to correct you on this. They're not going to let you get by with this statement, okay? So, remember I've told you before as a product owner, you got to win some, lose some, draw some, and you even got to lose some on purpose, all right? So, shoot and wait is one way to really get the SME to step up and set everybody straight, okay? And in the end, this is what we want. But again, that's kind of an abrasive path, and I don't recommend it. But it is a real-world idea if you're just not getting anything from anybody, right? And that's what we do here. We give real-world ideas. So there's your real-world idea for the day. So just remember, though, the primary thinking pattern, okay? What am I doing? What do I see happening? Then pause. That puts you back to the value that you're wanting to really discuss here. So if you try that out, let me know how it goes for you. All right, stick around. Let's get to the second C of coaching in the next segment. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking there is no way that he really threw that out. Yeah, I did. I've done it several times. But I really like the other method better. It really is more productive. So let's move on to the second set of C's here, the three C's of coaching for the Scrum Master. And let's talk about cadence, okay? Cadence is another area of coaching that the Scrum Master must be working on. Cadence and predictability is an area of agile development that's really critical. And it's not just critical to successful delivery, but it's also critical in gaining trust from the customer and the organization and even other teams, right? So as a product owner, you are again maybe in two different places of your journey through cadence. And as it relates to cadence, you're either on cadence or you're off cadence. That's really it. I mean, you're either a cadenced team, right, that's predictable or at least somewhat predictable, or you're just not. All right. So obviously there's a relationship, I believe, between collaboration and cadence. If you've got high collaboration, then you've probably got stable cadence. But if your cadence is not as stable or predictable as it needs to be, and your collaboration is still fairly good, there's two strategies that I'd recommend for you to help improve it. And again, I don't have to sell you on the value of cadence. Everybody wants cadence. Everybody wants flow. Okay. You probably already got that, but that's the concept. It's flow. And so we want to directly impact flow in the right way. So managing flow is fundamental, guys. You just remember that. So how can a product owner help a Scrum Master in coaching on flow? Well, first, when it relates to flow, which is kind of the driver for cadence, you have to use data, all right? So you want to take a data-driven approach. So what does that burn down chart or CFD chart look like to you? And look, take a historical look with your Scrum Master. Hear me, with your Scrum Master. Take a historical look, find out what's going on. Now, you've probably looked through these reports before, and you've probably taken a look, and you said, this burn down chart looks great. Look how it was falling, or this one looks like a cliff, right? And remember, I had an episode on that previously about burn down a cliff or a trail, whatever it was. Anyway, first, with this data-driven approach, you can't just look at one sprint or two sprints or iterations, right? What's hurting or helping you? You're going to find that when you look through the lens of contrast and compare. So take a look at your burn down chart or your CFD or, your lead time report, whatever is your favorite tool, right? And have a look through the lens of contrast and compare, like most of everything else that we do in this business. So what sprints or iterations look most and least predictable to you? Which ones look most productive to you? Which ones looked least productive to you? And so once you find those and you say, okay, well, what kind of stories or tasks were we working on during those? What was the formation of those? How much elaboration? Who was out? Who was in? Who was on their game? Who was not? Who needed Mellow Yellow and cigarettes? And who had too many Snickers bars? Right? I mean, so it's all those things that kind of go into it, right? But also take a look at like the distinctions or the differences between your sprint or iteration goals. Maybe you were using them and maybe you bailed on it. What kinds of practices were you using during these two or three really good iterations? And then you bailed on that in the next two that were not so good, right? Take your worst and your best. Use the data over a period of time to figure that out. So lead time, cycle time, arrival, departure, CFD, burn down, any of these are going to give you the answers to different aspects of flow. But if you're not using enough data to compare and contrast to get down to the real reason why one or two iterations were better than one or two worse ones, then you're probably not going to be able to move this needle very much. And so let's apply the same thinking pattern that we talked about in the first segment when it comes to reporting. What are you doing? What are you seeing? So when you go back and you look at the reports and the data, tell me the story and then how you feel like you can impact flow a little bit differently with that. By what are you doing in that iteration? And then what are you seeing in that iteration? Interesting. Now, that was kind of basic. Let's talk about a second strategy. And this one I'm going to dive into just a little bit here for more information on this. I'm going to have another episode on it, but I want to at least bring my listeners up to speed on the concept because I haven't talked about it a whole lot, but I'm going to because it's really on my heart right now. This second strategy is limiting work in progress, and you're going to hear this as limiting WIP. If you're not participating in this or practicing this, you may want to start having a look into it. Now, you've heard me say before that, it's like trying to shove 10 pounds of sugar into a 5-pound bag. Well, this strategy of limiting WIP is going to help defend ourselves from trying to shove 10 pounds of sugar into a 5-pound bag. So the idea is looking at your board, and of course, in Kanban world, we call this a system to visualize our work. You probably got something like a to-do column, an elaborating column, a doing, a peer review, a testing, although I hope you don't have a testing column. Anyway, and a done column, right? And so your board is your board. You got your board, okay? Just have a look and see if you can place a numeric value on each of these columns to indicate the maximum number of stories or tasks or work items, right, for that column. For example, you can't have more than two in elaborating column, can't have more than four in doing, and you can't have more than three in peer review. Well, what this does is force the team to focus on starting something and finishing rather than starting and stopping and starting and stopping and starting and stopping. Now, the team's going to be your guide in this exercise. You don't want to be the one product owner or scrum master. You don't want to be the one putting those numbers on there. The team really needs to decide this, okay? And it's going to take you a couple of cycles, a couple of iterations to really kind of find the right groove on these numbers, okay? Now, one thing you need to know about limiting WIP for columns and work lanes and swim lanes, this is not a quota for your development process. In other words, don't make the mistake because teams are going to have the urge to max out each of those columns. Let's say you got three, four, and three, right? Everybody, oh, we got to have three in this column, or we're not going, or we got to have four in it. No, you don't. You don't. It's not a quota, okay? It's a max, but it's not a quota. You just need to feel comfortable in saying no and resisting the temptation when you go to max out each one of these, because you're going to have the urge to max it out because the team wants to appear to stay busy, and that's totally counterproductive. That's not the point of the exercise. So don't give in to the pressure, you know, even the outside pressure of saying you need more in this column or you need more in that. No, it's a team thing, okay? Tell them to go back and eat their pistachios or whatever, okay? Finish what you start. This is how to improve flow. Now, product owner, you obviously have to have more things ready for the team to work, right, than they can get to. And that's okay. Because if you practice this technique, this is actually going to help you in prioritizing more effectively. Because now you know you have a limited amount of work in progress that you can focus on. And what's most important to you is actually going to get done. So everybody wins, right? So how you can apply the first thinking pattern to this? Well, in your retro, in your planning, what are we doing in these swim lanes? What do we see happening in these swim lanes? Pause. See how all this rolls up together? Now, I hope that you can be led down a path without me prescriptively getting into your domain and your team time, right, and telling you what to do, because I don't want to do that, all right? So I'll pause. So stay around for the next segment. We're going to get into the last of Scott's three C's of coaching for the Scrum Master. Hang tight. So we've covered collaboration and cadence, two of the three C's that I feel like it's really important for a Scrum Master to be coaching the team on. The last C that I have for the Scrum Master coaching is one I want to cover you today, is a big one. It's commitment. Commitment is a strong word. One way to think about commitment is that we're dedicated to a cause. So what is the cause? What if the driver of commitment is being dedicated to a cause? You may have just found the answer you've always been looking to find, and you've never really heard it put that way, because commitment really is being dedicated to a cause. So what's the cause you're asking the team to dedicate to? Well, it's a very simple thinking pattern, but really, keeping it simple, guys, is really half the battle. I mean, if we can just keep things simple and forget about all of this other stuff, realize that we're humans, right? We're people, okay? So what's the cause that you're asking the team to dedicate to, right? Let's dive into how that impacts commitment. Driving alignment, creating visibility, facilitating flow, those are all key concepts in a lean development system or cycle. But just like I've shared with you before, let's go back to the why. Why is it important? Why is it important? Because we all want to have some kind of purpose. I've told you before, developers are people, and y'all stop treating them like they're not. Scrum Masters are people too, even though we could, you know, but anyway, I won't go there. But the first thing to recognize here, whenever you're trying to get teams kind of bought in or somebody bought in here, state the why before the what. And then you notice I just paused, right? State the why before the what. So you have a team who's not as committed as they need to be. First of all, you got to define that yourself. What's the level of commitment you're looking for? I mean, are you sure about that? Are you meeting objectives and goals and you're just looking for the extra mile? Are you just looking for more? It's okay if you are, but question your motives here a little bit, product owner and Scrum Master. Why are you asking for more commitment? Okay. Then think about why each of the team members and the whole team, right, may not be as committed as what you think they should be. Okay. Let me ask you something. Would your team members, okay, and this is a serious question, would your team members tell their family and their friends about their jobs? Seriously, is it about the way they have to pull their IDE down or check these boxes on this process, or the way they take orders from product management and the boss and their Scrum Master is always on and their product owner is just a nutcase who thinks they can do? Is it all about broken processes, methods, and people interaction? Is it about frustrations and how they're prepping their resume, right, because somebody else is hiring? Wouldn't it be nice if we were all just able to go home and talk about the value we deliver to our customers instead? Seriously. No, I mean, I know this sounds cheesy, okay? So think about what you can do to reach that level of commitment, because being agile, the heart and focus of agility is customer centricity. So again, what's your cause, right? What's your cause? So you can't do it without reaching the definition of commitment. So the thinking pattern really is, go back to the real definition of commitment, dedicated to a cause. So what is your cause? If you're working, if you're delivering working, usable, valuable software, then how does the team connect with that? And maybe they're the users of solution, maybe they're not. But there's surely a couple of ways we can help them understand the cause to which they are dedicated. Show them. Right? I mean, that's one way. Show them what they are producing, and not just in metrics you find on some server. Okay. Let me help you. You're like, okay, where are you going, Scott? Humanize the story. I tell product managers all the time about this. You're having trouble communicating your digital strategy. You're having trouble communicating what it is. Humanize the story. It's very simple. Humanizing the story is one way to qualify the cause you are seeking for the dedication you're requiring. And that is where your commitment comes from. Make a value statement for your team. We're improving the lives of, you know, fill in the blank, right? And I know, again, it sounds cheesy and corporate, right? But if we're taking if it's from our heart and it's really what we're focused on, then we're going to share that vision, right? Talk about that during your vision cast and your team sessions. Maybe even develop your pitch or something, right? And put together a humanizing selling guide to rebranding your team next time y'all have an outing, okay? Look, guys, we're not going to worry about the ID. We're not going to worry about the check in the boxes. We're not going to worry about whether or not we're doing this thing, that thing, or the other thing. Here's what we're doing for our customers. That's novel, I know. I know it sounds cheesy, but guys, give it a try. Give it a try. I can tell you this, that when you humanize this story, you're going to share a cause with them that inspires them enough to tell their friends about it. Now, the focus isn't so much on what we're doing during the day. The focus is on the value we are delivering and to whom that value is being given. All right, so sit down with your Scrum Master. Solely etch out some time and dedicate some time to talk about commitment and ways you're able to gain more insight into why maybe the dedication of the cause is missing. Connect it to the customers and connect behaviors to results, okay? This is not in the Scrum Guide. This is not in the books to get you certified. But, you know, that's what we do here, right? One thing that we all know is that people are people, right? We're all people. Developers are people, too. Developers are customers. They're advocates. They're advertisers. And they're just like you. They just think differently and have different skills, okay? We all want to belong and be dedicated to some kind of cause. So what is the cause we're asking them to dedicate themselves to, right? I've heard somebody say before, all I do is take pictures of checks, fill out a timesheet, and I go home. Whoa. But you know what? Somebody needed those images. Somebody just saved themselves from a lawsuit, or they've proved that they made the payment on time and they're not in collection. So there's always some bright side and customer connection to what we do. Now, one thing to keep in mind is that it takes about 7 times to get your message out there before it really takes hold and somebody understands it. So we always have to include this in our retros and our demos and our planning or wherever or whenever we can. System demos are a really good place to inject the connection to the customer and the customer to the team's cause, because now you're cross-promoting it with others. And guess who gets the credit for all that? Yeah, you guessed it. I've said that before. The team. The team gets the credit for that. So when you're in elaboration sessions, start with the customer. But start with how the team will impact the customer. If you share this as much as you can, and then you can understand why the team is not committed in the first place, you're going to see some traction. All right? And we're going to change domain language to let our team center and focus on the customer and the value you're adding to their lives. So you're able to have different conversations at dinners and cookouts and around the table when somebody asks you, what do you do? Okay, so let's land this plane, get off this crazy planet, shall we? So true, we need to create visibility, we need to drive alignment, we need to facilitate flow. Those are 3 things that Scrum Masters can definitely help with. Again, not getting into the removing the impediments piece, okay? Forget that for a minute. I'm not going to go there. But we also have to recognize that the Scrum Master role is really critical in coaching the teams. And I hope that collaboration, cadence, and commitment are part, you know, those 3 C's are part of the coaching for you. And I hope that the product owner has been able to take away some things here to help in that, right? And to help you on your journey. So speaking of helping you on your journey, I want to remind you that I'm starting that additional content format here pretty soon. to help you along in your journey. And the big announcement is coming really soon. So stay tuned and keep telling your friends about this podcast. Keep subscribing. Keep pushing people over there to it. Keep those breakout sessions going when you're listening to this audio. I've gotten feedback from several people that say they just listen to it in a breakout session and they talk about it. I think it's great. Whatever we can do to help here, that's what I want to do. So keep the feedback coming to scott@plantproductowner.org so I can ensure I'm giving you what you need. And I can continue to create things that help you in your path. So thanks again for listening and subscribing and telling your friends. Until next time, have a safe and fun lean journey, my friends.